Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing today? Welcome to another video here on the Bernie Miklas channel on YouTube. Please subscribe. Please hit the like button. Please tell all your friends and family, your neighbors, as we want to continue to grow it. And we're doing really well so far. Really happy doing these. I'm going to try to start doing more, you know, maybe two a day, because I do shorter videos, but I look at that as like, well, maybe it's a radio segment. You know, you do two or three segments. They're just spread out. Anyway, boy, the Cardinals, it's just such a crazy, crazy, crazy time right now. I mean, the team has just completely fallen apart, and the offense is dead, and the front office and the manager, I don't know what's inside their heads. I really don't. The Jordan Walker fiasco is just when you think it couldn't get any worse. Yeah, it got worse. So let me see if I get this straight, or at least the story that John Mozeliak and Ali Marmol are telling. Okay. Jordan Walker was starting to hit up big time thunder and lightning down in Memphis. It took him a while to get there, but he was in a really good place. He was in a rhythm. He had his confidence. He's hitting the ball 460 feet. Really looked like that talented hitter that had all this potential. And we saw it last year, like his final 30 games in particular, his numbers were phenomenal. So, all right, Jordan Walker is ready again for another shot. All right, went down to Memphis, put his work in, took a while. He got straight, got it figured out. Okay, welcome back. Oh, and by the way, you're not really going to be a starter. And he was here for six games, and he started three. He didn't play in two others, and he never started back-to-back games. Now, why would you take a 22-year-old hitter who is the future of your franchise, and he is crucially important to Cardinals baseball now, next year, the year after that? They need him to be a star. They need him to be outstanding, right? So he's on a roll. He's feeling good, ready to go. I understand things now. Let's go. All right. He comes up. They sit him on the bench. And then Marmol tells the press that, you know, well, we want him to hit, you know, face left-handed starting pitchers. And I'm talking slow because I don't want to start just screaming here, because this stuff is just pure lunacy. You know, in his major league career, Jordan Walker's OPS is 172 points higher against right-handed pitchers than left-handed pitchers. And when he went on, I got to look at my numbers. When Jordan Walker came back up here at the end of, well, not at the end of last season, but when he came back and he really, from about August 28th to the end of the season, you know, he played 30 games. Those final 30 games that he played last season, he hit 350 against right-handed pitching, and he slugged 588. Right. And if you use a fancy pants stat, weighted runs created plus, sorry, I know some of you don't like that stuff. I respect you, but I just want to give you this number. You know, against right-handed pitching in his final 30 games last year, he was 67% above the league average offensively. So what are they doing? Do they not even know? Oh, man. Do they not even know their own player? Do they not, a schlub like me can go on the FanGraphs or Baseball Reference and find these numbers in 10 seconds? And so I thought, and I still believe, this was a matter of Ali Marmol. Well, I got to platoon guys. I got to put lineups together based on the best matchup, lefty pitcher, right-handed batters, you know. Right-handed pitchers, left-handed batters. You know, okay, all right. By the book, whatever. It usually makes sense. Doesn't make sense in this one because Jordan Walker is not very good, has not been very good against left-handed pitching. Now, he did do better late last season, but still. It's the old reverse platoon split. You know, he's supposed to be better against lefty pitching and not as good against righty pitching, but it's the exact opposite. So So Marmol came up with this cockamamie plan to where you're going to take this 22-year-old guy who's down there mashing and smashing, you know, and just going nuts, just violently striking the baseball. Big time presence, very imposing. So you're going to remove him from that where he's got something rolling, right? You're going to take him out of that setting and you're going to put him on the bench in the major leagues. And then, oh, by the way, six games and 12 plate appearances later, although he didn't play in six games, he played in four, plays in four games, 12 plate appearances. Bye-bye. What is wrong with these people? Seriously. We all know the Cardinals, the brain power has just greatly diminished through the years. And we know that we're used to them doing nonsensical things where we all scratch our heads or we go like this, you know, you don't understand it. They've reached a new level of cuckoo here. This is a new level of cuckoo. And if you look at Jordan Walker's track, you know, and I'm going to read this, it's like starting last year. He opens in St. Louis. He goes to Memphis. He's back to St. Louis. This year's even crazier. Opens the season in St. Louis. He only plays in 20 games. He's back to Memphis. He stays in Memphis. He comes back to St. Louis 6 days, and it's back to Memphis. He's not a yo-yo, right? This is a guy who needs consistent at-bats. He needs to play as much as possible. And John Mozeliak, as long as I have known him in the seat that he occupies, he has always believed strongly, if you're going to bring a young hitter to the majors, he's got to play, period. That's always been a core belief of his. And there were some examples of it. When Colton Wong was a really young player, you know, not that experienced major leagues, and you know, Mike Matheny wouldn't play him. Remember Mark Ellis? He's like, you know, no offense to that guy, but you know, he was ancient. He had a bad back. He was broken down. He couldn't hit. Mike Matheny kept playing this guy over Colton Wong. And Colton Wong, who needed reps, he needed to play. And oh, by the way, he's a hell of a defensive player. No, that wasn't good enough. Matheny had to go with the veteran. Mozeliak, two times, just said, okay, you're not going to play him. He's going back to Memphis. Because it does a young hitter no good to sit on the bench. So I figured this was just a Marmol, you know, trying to overthink things. And you know, trying to overanalyze things and also trying to show, oh, I'm going to show everyone, I understand platoon splits. I understand, you know, you get right-handed hitter like him. You gotta use him against lefties, but not righties. The numbers are contradict all of that. But what amazed me yesterday, and I thought actually, there was no way that John Mozeliak agreed with this plan, but yesterday when addressing the media, John Mozeliak actually defended Marmol's decision to tamp down on any potential controversy. But let's be totally honest here. No one's raising hell of, you don't see, I see a few people like my friend Brendan Schaefer, for example, and others. I mean, I don't want to like get into a name contest, but this town, media in this town's not going to raise hell about anything. I mean, you give them a story, and most of the time, it's okay, oh, got it, okay. And I'm sorry because I've been guilty of that myself. I've been around so long. There were times where I was, naive that way. And I don't work for the Cardinals. I'm an independent contractor. I work for myself, and I write columns at ScoopsNetwork.com. But anyway, let me stop rambling. So Mozeliak comes out yesterday and makes it sound like, you know, he's all in there. He's in with Marmol on this, you know. He defended it. And how could he defend it when John Mozeliak's core belief that young hitters must play, they must play regularly, all of a sudden he is throwing away, discarding his core belief on this? Because he doesn't want to embarrass Ali Marmol. He doesn't want to give the impression that there is a disconnect between them, which there obviously is. And so in this just crazy stuff, Jordan Walker becomes a pawn, and they're moving him up, moving him down, because the manager and the president of baseball operations could not get on the same page. They did not reach an understanding about, okay, here's how this is going to work. He's going to play. If Marmol said no, I want to platoon him. The standard or the logical answer would be, no, we can't do that. He's on a roll down in Memphis. We got to keep him in that zone. If he's not going to play here, he's better off in Memphis. And that's true, right? So they obviously, I don't believe it, frankly. And if anybody in the media believes it, my goodness, wake up, okay? But John Mozeliak's trying to be a good organization, man, trying to make it sound like, okay, we were all on the same page. And, you know, oh, I got to defend the decision. You know, this is just ludicrous. It's one of the dumbest things I've seen the Cardinals do in the last, oh, I don't know, 7-8 years. And they've done some really stupid things. And they're messing with another young hitter. And the logic of their plan was just illogical. It made no sense. And they mishandled this, and they mishandled it in a way. They lack self-awareness down there, don't they? They mishandled it in a way that only draws more attention to the fact that they fail so often with young hitters when they get to the majors. There are exceptions, but we know all the high-profile examples. And you think they would try to just say, you know what? We've kind of screwed up some things. Let's be consistent here, okay? No, Nope. Not the Cardinals. These aren't the same Cardinals, the ones that used to win all the time and did pretty much everything right. No, those days are long gone, I'm sorry to say. So one other thing about this. First of all, I think Jordan Walker's better off in Memphis because this place is the crazy hotel right now. It really is. In this environment, where, you know, the veteran hitters aren't doing anything, and Marmol, you know, is like talking about how hard everyone's working and this. It's just, get him out of this culture. He's better off in Memphis, and he doesn't realize that right now. But over time, I think he'll see, even though he doesn't like it, the wisdom of staying in Memphis rather than coming up here and sitting on the bench with some stupid platoon plan that goes against the numbers, actually. And one other thing about this is, why are there double standards? What's up with the double standards? Does Nolan Gorman look like he knows where he is in terms of just his swing, his approach? He is lost. He is lost. You know, since, let me get into the numbers here. Sorry. You know, if you look at where he's been since June the 5th, he's hitting 170. His slugging percentage is under 300. And this is a guy that's here for power. Hitting 170, a 290, a 291 slugging percentage. And since June 5th, 156 major league hitters have more home runs than Nolan Gorman. And to top all that off, since June 5th, he's got a 40.3% strikeout rate that is the highest in baseball. How does the team benefit from him being up here? He needs to go to Memphis and reset and get fixed. They get Jordan Walker out of here in less than a week. Oh, got to go back. And Nolan Gorman, who struck out last night to end the game, he's going to stay around. He doesn't even hit right-handed pitchers anymore. Like I said, we have entered the intense phase, the hyper phase of the Looney Tunes theater with the St. Louis Cardinals. Really, really a shame. These people are lost. And if Bill DeWitt cares, he can't get that broom out soon enough. That's going to do it. I think I'm going to come back later and holler some more here on the Bernie Channel. Thank you.